Hey, it's the NFL Conference Championship Previews on the FTN Fantasy NFL Podcast. Shots and Tenier NFL Podcast featuring me, Aaron Shots, the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy, and him, Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack, miketenier.substack.com. We are here to talk about the Patriots and Broncos and the Rams and Seahawks. It's the January 22nd edition of the show, also known as the Jared Stidham Experience.
No, I didn't sign up for the Jared Stidham Experience.
None of us signed up for the Jared Stidham Experience, but the Jared Stidham Experience is what we're getting. Okay, so before I start going through my Jared Stidham stats, I mean, share with me your first thoughts about the AFC championship game.
It's like we have to stack these probabilities for the Broncos. Like, if Stidham is this, and the defense does this, and home field advantage means this, and you have to create like this club sandwich of possibilities for the Broncos to win. And usually when you're doing that, it means that the Patriots are going to win, and you're talking about these like hypotheticals that add up to, I think you said on the other show, like 28% likely.
29. I came up with 29%. The like 5.5 line is more like a 33%.
Okay.
Which is a good amount. I mean, right there, that's a reasonable amount that Denver wins this. It's not a colossal shock if Denver wins this. They are the number one seed for a reason. They have the defense, except, first of all, by weighted DVOA, the Patriots defense is now slightly better than the Denver defense.
Oh, that's stunning.
And second, Jared Stidham.
Jared Stidham.
We have no idea who Jared Stidham. I went back to 2022 and 2023. Mm-hmm. He had a slightly above average DVOA in 2022 and was average in 2023. It wasn't much different from Bo Nix. It's just a much smaller sample size because the good stuff is mostly one game against San Francisco.
One game against San Francisco at the end of the season, a kind of a lost season for the Broncos, where you don't...
Oh, this is the Raiders I'm talking about in 2023.
Oh, the Raiders. Okay.
In 2023 were the end of the season where it was the lost season. Yeah.
We've never seen him in super meaningful games where he's been out there for a while, where it wasn't like, here's your bespoke game plan. That has never been seen in history. So that is, he's not Nick Foles. He's not
right.
Whoever else.
Right. The big difference between him and other backup quarterbacks like Nick Foles, like Jeff Hostetler, Vince Ferragamo, is that those guys took over in the middle of the season.
Right.
Sean King in 1999 for the Buccaneers took over with five or six games left in the season, whereas he's taking over right here, conference championship game. Here we go.
And a lot of the guys you're mentioning either were former starters, or for somebody like King, well, it's a rookie coming in where you can say, well, he's coming in with the traits and the running ability and stuff, as opposed to a guy who's hung around for 6 years and kind of been like the quality control assistant in the quarterback room, which is kind of how at least I perceive Stidham.
I tried to look for trends. He was bad against the blitz in 2023, but good against the blitz in 2022. He was bad against man in 2023, but good against it. Like, there was nothing where it was like 2023 and 2022, four starts.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's only two things I found that I think really stand out.
Okay.
One, he was not good on deep passes.
No, that sounds right.
Okay. Deep. I know people keep saying he's got an arm. He's got an arm. He's got an arm. Deep passes. He had a 27% DVOA in 2022, which is bad for deep passes because deep passes are all big gains.
Okay.
He was minus 27% in 2023, which is would be the worst in the league for deep passes this year.
Right, and who's saying he's got an arm besides, like, the teammates we're trying to talk him up right now?
Yeah, but that might be it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other big thing, and Bo Nix, by the way, was not great on deep passes this year either. So that's not a huge difference. That's not a huge game plan change.
Right.
Here's the game plan change. Bo Nix is the best quarterback in the league at avoiding sacks.
Yes.
Some of that is the offensive line.
Yes.
But Nix himself is also very good at avoiding sacks.
Yes.
Stidham had an adjusted sack rate of about 10% over those four starts. Bo Nix was at 4% this year. He took 13 sacks in four starts. And by the way, those Denver starts were basically with the same offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the same guys, same general system.
Miners and Garrett Bowles.
Right. McGlinchey might have been there, but I know McGlinchey's first year, he was had a rough year, but still was a veteran right tackle.
So that's, to me, that's the biggest difference here. And the way that the Patriots have been blitzing more, Scott Spratt put these stats together. Their blitz rate in the last 6 weeks has gone from 25.5% to 39.4%. And their DVOA when blitzing has gone from plus 27 to minus 36. So they are blitzing and they are killing you when they blitz. And some of that is the offensive lines.
Yes.
They faced in recent weeks. But part of the thing about blitzing is you get a guy past the offensive line.
And you blitz because you can, to a degree, too. Where if you look at the opponents they faced, it's like, who's their weapon we're afraid of? That we're, you know, whether it was no Nico Collins or the Chargers who don't have a lot of weapons or the teams at the end of the season. They blitz because they can. They kind of blitz because they can here.
Right. And I mean, yeah, again, who's the weapon? I mean, Cortland Sutton's a good receiver. He's a
good ball player, yeah. But like not.
But he's not a number one where you're like, oh, geez, yeah. Oh my God, Cortland Sutton. And you're not that way with it sounds like Pat Bryant and Troy Franklin are gonna be healthy enough to play. Yes. So they've got a deep wide receiver group, but it's not a great wide receiver group. They've got a good tight end in Evan Engram, but not a great tight end.
Right.
So it's not, you're not really that scared of this offense right now.
Right. You look like you can match up across the board as the Patriots defense. Quick notes, everything you said, injury report, correct. Carlton Davis in concussion protocol for the Patriots. That's a little problem there. Other side of the ball, J.K. Dobbins might be back. Don't laugh at J.K. Dobbins, folks. He finished seventh in the NFL in yards after contact per attempt with 2.4. He does every little bit helps for the Broncos. He could bring a little more juice to their running game.
Yes, yes. Especially because, like, even if you don't think Dobbins is that much better than Harvey,
right?
He's much better than Tyler Bidet.
Yes.
You would rather have Dobbins and Harvey than Harvey and Bidet.
Right. And he might give you a little bit more of a short yardage option, et cetera, things like that that could be helpful.
When you flip it to the other side, Patriots on offense, you know, Denver plays the most man coverage in the league. Mm-hmm. Drake May very good on man coverage.
Right.
Denver blitzes about average. May was obviously very, very good against the blitz this year. It's you know, the Patriots offense, we know what they do. Their running game has really improved in the second half of the year.
Right.
They're very dependent on explosive runs, and Denver is very good at preventing explosive runs. Denver right. allowed only the they were second in preventing explosive runs this year. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive, because you're not probably going to see that Travion Henderson breakaway.
Right. Right.
But the Broncos defense is not as good as people think.
It's got a big flashing sign at the other side of the ball from Patrick Surtain.
See, it's funny because I think the big flashing sign is in the middle of the field.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They were 22nd against slot receivers.
Okay.
Moss, I think despite the DPIs, there is a flashing sign over Moss.
Yes.
But it's not throw here because he's not good in cover. It's throw here because he's going to commit interference.
Yes, yes.
Jaquan McMillan was not good in coverage.
Right.
This should be a big DeMario Douglas game.
I'm going to ask you something because I was writing something up. Patriots season. Can you name a thing that went wrong at all this Patriots season?
I mean, anything you say that went wrong is either a minor injury, which every team has.
Right.
Or is a one game where, Will Campbell sucked against Will Anderson.
Right.
Or all of week one against the Raiders.
Right, right.
But in reality, no, nothing. Right. I mean, they were, the vibes are incredible. They continued to constantly win. The injury level was very low.
Right.
The offense was fantastic, and the defense consistently got better.
All the rookies panned out beyond expectations. Just about every free agent panned out past expectations. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, everything worked. Everything worked. They got, You know, I think they got everything they wanted out of Davis and Spillane. I think Milton Williams lived up to his contract. Stephon Diggs was fantastic.
Yes.
Booty really emerged. Morgan Moses was good. Garrett Bradbury was reasonable.
And Morgan Moses and Garrett Bradbury, these guys aren't good normally. The rookie kicker never screwed up. The rookie long snapper never screwed up. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, Fraser Lamont says, Mike Vrabel is running back the Belichick man coverage and blitz-oriented defense, and Stidham is the quarterback you want to play that against.
Right. Well, Stidham is the quarterback you want to play, period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, it's you talk about how easy – like, you go back in time, the Patriots have not had the easiest road to the Super Bowl of any team, right? The not only the Rams in 99 and the Bills in 91, but the 1970 Baltimore Colts had the easiest schedule of all time, and that the 72 Dolphins. But you can also pick out specific games. The Rams in 99 played the Buccaneers' backup quarterback in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, he'd played five or six games, but that was their backup quarterback. So this is not the first team to ever play a backup quarterback in a conference championship game, but it's been an easy road.
It's been an easy road. We're going on like fourth easiest since the merger, and that kind of says it. But you're right. Look at the 72 Dolphins schedule for real.
Yeah.
And you'll see all kinds of goofiness in there.
Bowl 32 says, DVOA struggles to judge Pat's defenses. I don't quite know where that idea comes from. No. When the defense is really good, they usually end up with a really good DVOA, like 2019. Right. And when they're bad, they end up with a bad DVOA, like 2011. And also, we're not in the Belichick world anymore, right? This is like, well, I don't know why there would be something about the Patriots organization that would make DVOA not rate their defenses correctly, no matter who the head coach is. That doesn't seem right.
It's like the old overrating the Eagles thing. It's like some
right, but the overrating the Eagles thing was maybe what they were overrating was the Andy Reid offense.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think when Andy Reid left, that ended.
Right.
So I mean, I think we're trying to talk ourselves into the Broncos a little bit. No. Like, we're trying to talk ourselves into the Broncos having a chance.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the line is 5.5, and if I had to put money on it, I'd put it on the Patriots.
Yeah, I would have to get to about 6, 6.5 to start playing my game with the quarterback making his first start. That just feels different in the playoffs. And, the 29% when you say it sounds big. But in my brain, it's like 29% sounds like the upper threshold of that. And those aren't good odds.
It feels like it's less than that.
It feels less than that. Right.
When we look at that, once you actually look at the matchups and you look at sort of what the Patriots defense does well, and you look at what the Broncos defense does well, they will get to May.
Yes.
The biggest way the Patriots lose this game is May sack fumble.
Strip sacks, yes. Yep. Six in the playoffs.
Benito is going to whip Will Campbell.
Right. And Will Campbell has to fall on the ball afterwards because that's what he has done very well.
They need to help Will Campbell. They need to help Will Campbell in this game. They need to go 6-0. They need to go too tight. Like, they need to help Will Campbell.
Right. But they have the advantage of you get to about 19 points and it's over, probably.
Probably. All right, let's talk about the NFC Championship game, DVOA Bowl 3, the Rams at the Seahawks. Obviously, they've played twice this year. The Rams won 21-19 in Week 11, and the Seahawks won 38-37 in Week 16.
Right.
And Matt Crunkster says, by weighted DVOA, the Seahawks are currently top five all time. What is their defensive weighted DVOA right now all time? I'm not sure, but it's way up there.
Way up there. Like,
their defense has been fantastic in the second half of the season. Like, absolutely, by weighted DVOA, it's probably one of the top five defenses
ever. It's probably above the Legion of Boom.
Yes. Oh, it's definitely above the Legion of Boom. And I know that sounds crazy to Seahawks fans. Right. That's absolutely crazy to Seahawks fans, but it is. And it's a very different style of defense. I used to talk about the Patriots and Seahawks as Belichick was figure out what you can't do and attack that.
Right.
Whereas Pete Carroll was, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. We do it really well. Right. Come and beat it.
Right, right, right.
McDonald is more the Belichick style.
Yeah.
He's more scheming up his players. Mm-hmm. It's not that they have – the Texans are like, we line them up, we beat you. The right. Seahawks are like, we're going to scheme you, and then we're going to do interesting things, and you can't figure out what we're doing.
Right. And I think part of that also is we're going to have a lot of guys coming in waves. We have a lot of different combinations on the defensive line, a lot of different combinations on the secondary, so we can come at you that way, as opposed to two great edge rushers, two great cornerbacks, good luck, guys, which is what the Texans are.
Right. I listened to Mina Kimes yesterday, so I'm going to give her credit for this. Matthew Stafford against the Bears had serious problems with defensive back blitzes.
Okay.
And it turns out that Matthew Stafford all year has been terrible against defensive back blitzes.
That's a problem.
And Nick Amonwori and Devin Witherspoon are the Seahawks. Like, Mike McDonald can bring some defensive back blitzes. With this, I mean, I didn't go back and look at specifically what the Seahawks did and how much the Rams did against defensive back blitzes in these two games, but that seems like a strategy that the Seahawks can really bring.
Yeah, with Amonwori, the counterpunch to that is to use your two and three tight end sets, put him in binds because he's a rookie who's going to go out there and kind of maybe get mixed up in, if he's forced to like choose between coverage and blitzing. I'm just trying to look at the statistics here. He pass rushed 65 times. Witherspoon pass rushed 21. Oh, yeah. They got a lot of juice that they can use with those corner blitzes, slot blitzes.
But on the other hand, like you said, okay, so I don't understand why the Rams went away from the 13 personnel grouping in the two playoff games.
They used it against the Panthers, but I think they got away from it. I think they started with it.
And then against the Bears, I was waiting for it all game, and it didn't show up like until the end. The right. Seahawks have a relative weakness against tight ends. They're only 16th against tight ends. They do have strong DVOA against those personnel groups of 12 and 13,
mm-hmm.
but they have strong DVOA against every personnel.
Yes.
Group. So,
right.
Like, if they're weak against tight ends and the 13 personnel has worked so well for the Rams this season, do it. Bring it out. Come on now.
And if you're vulnerable against slot blitzes, put extra humans out there on the edge so the slot person has to be further out from your quarterback. And also, when it's 5 degrees, put your big guys out there. Now, it's not going to be 5 degrees this week, but I would be shocked if we didn't see a decent amount of three tight end sets.
Put it on the other side.
Uh-huh.
The Seahawks offense has only been 17th passing the ball since week 10.
That sounds right.
Right? But their run offense is up to 7th. I know Zach Charbonnet is out. It's going to be mostly Kenneth Walker. They've got this guy, Helani, who just came off of IR, but he's the back. He won't play very much. The Rams' pass defense is down to 13th since week 10. Mm-hmm. And the cornerbacks are definitely their weakness. So Sam Darnold, we track FTN Stats Hub tracks throwing to tightly covered receivers.
Okay.
Sam Darnold was only 37th this year throwing to tightly covered receivers. But the Rams were only 27th in how often receivers were tightly covered, because cornerback is the weakness of their defense. And Cam Curl was on the after the game interview being like, you know, they were dissing our defensive backs and we wanted to show we're really good. And okay, you're really good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a safety.
Not the corners.
Yeah, not the guy who wandered away from the open tight end in the end zone, not that particular guy. Let me do one real quick here for the injury report. You mentioned Charbonnet, of course. Seahawks have a left tackle problem that has been ongoing. As of yesterday, Charles Cross, starting left tackle, didn't practice. Josh Jones, backup left tackle, did not practice. And Amari Kite, third string left tackle, did not practice on Wednesday. I'm going to quote beat writer Brandon Nelson right now. Quote, "The good news is that Cross participated in the walkthrough, and McDonald already said that Cross might play Sunday without actually practicing during the week. I'm less optimistic about Jones, who seems to be breaking down physically. Kite played well but remains inexperienced." So that's an ongoing situation and possibility where they might be going out there with Cross hobbled. He only got through part of the game, and when the game turned into a blowout against the Niners, they got him out of there.
Yeah, and obviously the Rams have a good
Yes,
very good pass rush.
Right, they got this versus side.
Clipzone Sports wants to know, obviously the Seahawks defense is elite, but how much of that comes from playing Max Brosmer, Phillip Rivers in his first start, Brissett, Bryce Young, etc.? I think that, you know, obviously when I'm adjusting for Arizona and Carolina, I'm adjusting for Brissett and Young. Brosmer is a special issue. There's no doubt the Seahawks DVOA would not be as high without playing Brosmer.
Yeah, it does go back to everything you said before, where if we start line iteming the backup quarterbacks that other defenses played throughout history, you'd find that all of them have a couple of those in their resume.
Yeah, I mean, the 2000 Ravens, one of the reasons why the 2000 Ravens are not as good as in DVOA as people think they are is because they played such the quarterback, they have such strong opponent adjustments for all the sucky quarterbacks they played,
right,
who were just sucky all the time, like all year long. Whereas with Minnesota, it's like they were bad, but Brosmer was like a special brand.
Right. A special lower level below.
And Rivers also, right? I mean, Daniel Jones was so good. The opponent adjustments based on playing the Colts are mostly based on playing Daniel Jones. So, yeah, I mean, maybe there's a little bit of hot air in the Seahawks rating. That makes some sense.
Right, and I wouldn't talk about a guy like Bryce Young because that's the starting quarterback in the NFL for 16 games for a playoff team. At some point, you start saying, oh, Kirk Cousins. And it's like, oh, these are NFL quarterbacks.
Right, right. Yeah. Brosmer is not.
Yeah, that's your.
I will say the Seattle offense, here's another thing I wrote down. They need to get it on first down. They were fourth on first down, but 17th on second and 22nd on third. And the Rams offense is weakest on first down. So the best thing the Seahawks could do, I know they want to run, mm-hmm. but the best thing they could do is pass and just get the whole thing on first down.
And that's what they like to do. They like to get that play action early down, try and take those deep shots, try to get those open shots for Darnold. And I think they're going to try and do that on Sunday.
The other thing that I should mention, because I mentioned it last time we did this, mm-hmm. 4 weeks ago, is special teams. Mm-hmm. The Seattle has a gigantic special teams advantage in every way.
Yes, yes. Be on the lookout for Rams kickoffs to see if they go into the end zone, if they spot the ball to the Seahawks on the 35-yard line, so they turn around after their scores and give decent field position. That's been happening a lot. Less in the playoffs than it was at the end of the regular season, but keep an eye out for that.
So the line is Seahawks by 2.5.
The only thing that's stopping me from just banging the Seahawks right now is the left tackle situation. I think Cross is going to play, but I worry about a 60% healthy Cross out there getting schooled by.
The other thing that would stop me from banging the Seahawks is that we've done this twice and the Seahawks haven't won by 2.5 in either game.
That's a good point. Good point. Yes. 2.5.
I feel like, I mean, this seems to me like a don't touch it game.
Okay.
Or Rams money line.
Okay. That's not a bad, I can see that. If you trust the Rams.
But like, I feel like the Seahawks are about 2.5 points better than the Rams.
Makes sense. They're not the best matchup for the Rams. Like if I say I'm going to build a matchup to beat the Rams, they're going to have like a wide receiver. Well, they're going to have two wide receivers. So you can't just double up on Jackson Smith and Jigba. There'd be other things like that. So I'm still leaning towards the Seahawks.
Yeah. Bulls 32 says the Rams peak is the best team in the NFL and their floor is much lower than the Seahawks. And I think that sounds accurate.
Right. Right. They can really trip and fall over a team sometimes.
So, I mean, I think the most likely result is we're talking Patriots Seahawks.
Yes.
When we come back on Monday.
Yes.
But the Rams can absolutely definitely win.
It's like 45% Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, in the playoff odds, I had the Seahawks at like 65. I actually think it's closer to like 60. Home field advantage does matter.
Right. I like 45% Seahawks Patriots, like 43%. Rams, Patriots, and then like the Broncos, like in the bottom there, taking whatever. You do the math.
We don't think we're getting the Broncos. Again, we don't want to write it off. This isn't 2007. We don't want to like write off the Giant. You know, I mean, the Broncos can do it. What would be very hard is seeing the Broncos do it twice.
Oh, well, gosh, yes, yes.
Right? Like even if the Broncos pull this off, to beat the Rams or Seahawks with a game of Stidham on film.
Yes.
Would be wow.
Greatest story ever told.
would be the greatest story ever told. More than Hostetler, more than Nick Foles.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. That does it for today's show. We're going at this point to Mondays only. So okay. We will be back next Monday at 11 a.m. to review the conference championships and give our first thought on Super Bowl 60. Then we will come back the Monday after that and do our Super Bowl preview on Monday,
okay,
not on Thursday. And then we'll be back the Monday after that, mm-hmm, to wrap up the Super Bowl and the season. So from here, we're going to Mondays at 11 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in. He's Mike Tenier, miketenier.substack.com. I'm Aaron Schatz, ftnfantasy.com. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you Monday. Good luck to your favorite team making it to Super Bowl 60.